This morning, and we're in the book of Revelation. Before we turn there, we'll have our little catch-up, because I know now you've got it. You know, there's a great way to read Scripture. If you want to know more what's in the Bible, I'm going to give you a great way to do it. That which you want to know, read every day for 30 days. If it's a chapter in the Bible, at the end of that 30 days, you'll be shocked at how much you can quote. You'll be shocked to know everything in it without ever looking at it. So it's a great way to read the Bible. For example, John. There's 21 chapters in John. If you take and divide that into seven chapters, read seven chapters every day for 30 days. You'll be shocked at the end of the 30 days what you know about those seven chapters. And then go to the next seven, 30 days. And then in 90 days, you will have read the book of John. And you'll be shocked to how much you know that's in it. Just a tidbit. Now, in chapter 1 of Revelation, though, it's okay, honey. This is where you answer. This is the time you answer.
I know, but I'm not.
I'll look away and you can answer, for crying out loud. You're not the only one to ever lose a tooth. I can assure you of that. We've all lost teeth at one point or another. It's no big deal. But you're right. In the first chapter, I'll say it for her because she's... In the first chapter, it's all about the revelation of the glorified Christ. And we said that it's in the first chapter because if you don't see him in his glorified state, there's no need to read the rest of it. You won't care about it. You won't know about it. You won't want to know about it. But if you grab hold of Christ, then you'll understand that chapters 2 and 3 are about the church age. Because you see, without Christ, there's no church. So there's no church age. So chapter 1 is about the glorified Christ. Chapters 2 and 3 is about the church age. Now the church age began with the church of Ephesus. And it ends with the church at Laodicea. Now what ties those two? What is it that ties those two? What happened in the first church that is tied to the last church? They left their first love. When you leave your first love, you are headed for a downward slide. And if you read each one of those churches, you will see how that the doctrine began to slide and how they became just churches that did stuff. He says, I know your works. I get it. But I have somewhat against you. In every church except two churches, what were they? Huh? Philadelphia and Smyrna. That's the only two churches he had no condemnation for. Why? Because they hadn't left their first love and their doctrine was sound. But when you get to Laodicea, what's their problem? Huh? Well, now wait just a second. Just one second. What was his name? They had riches, but they're poor. That's what you're saying, isn't it? Well, hey, you can't tell me everything. Rusty wants to tell me something. But you got that part about they had gold, but they were poor. They were poor. Okay. And you said? They were hot and cold. What does that mean, Rusty?
They were just wishy-washy.
Well, let's sort of divide that out. First of all, this is their own church because it says so. The church of the Laodicean, right? Now, when it means they're cold, what that means is they had no inclination. They had no desire to be right with God. He says you're neither hot, nor, because if it's hot, they'd be saved, right? He says you're neither saved nor lost. You see yourself in need of nothing. You say you're rich, but you're poor. You say you see, but I'm telling you need eye salve. It was the apostate church. It's the last church age. What's the book before Revelation? Huh? Jude. What's the theme of Jude? Apostasy, the great apostasy. Even Jesus said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? So that's the church age. And we're in without any hesitation from me and without any doubt in my mind. We are in the Laodicean church age. Now, what's the next church age that follows the Laodicean? That you got it. There's not one. File that. Because that's going to come into play. And then we go to chapters 4 and 5. What's that about? Huh? That's where we go. Remember the verse 18 or 19 in chapter 1 where he says, the things which thou hast seen, and what was that? The glorified Christ, and the things which are, that's the church age, and the things that must be hereafter. So, and we said for you to see what's going to happen hereafter, you're going to have to get a different view than earth. Earth has no view of what's hereafter, folks. So he says, come up. Well, when he gets up there, what's the first thing he sees? The throne. What's the first thing you'll see when your eyes close in death? The throne, bless God. I guarantee it. Be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, last time I checked, he ain't left that throne. He ain't going to. That's where he's going to be. And guess what we're going to do? Oh, we're going to bow before it. Just here as I'm standing here, we're going to bow before it. And we're going to realize what all he's done for us. We can't totally realize that. And I'm not making excuses for us now. Don't take that. But we can't totally realize what he's done for us, folks, in this flesh. This flesh hates God. I'll just tell you right up front. The Bible says it does. The flesh is enmity with God. That means hates him. It's not subject to the law of God. That's the word of God. In other words, it ain't not going to buckle to the word of God. That's why it ain't going. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So this flesh is not going anywhere. Except back to the dust. But when we drop it and our spirit comes into the presence of God, I assure you one thing. You won't be ashamed. You won't be hindered. You'll just start worshiping. Yes. And boy, won't it be beautiful there? Huh? Yes. Won't it be glory there? Yes. So then, that's okay, honey. You keep talking. You're all right. Until I tell you shut up, you keep talking. I mean, as long as I'm asking questions, you can talk. But when I start teaching now, I want it quiet. She knows I love her. That's my sister. So then we go to what happens in chapter 5. Well, they realize there's a scroll or a book in the hand of the one on the throne, but nobody can get it. Well, if he can't get it, John says, we're cooked, my words. And he starts to cry. Not just, you know... He really starts to cry. And then one of the elders said to him, oh, don't weep.
He said, don't
weep. Yeah, don't weep. Son, you got it, ain't you? I tell you what, you've got it. You may have lost a tooth, but you've got it. And so he says, behold, the Lamb which has been slain before the foundation of the world hath prevailed to take the book. And he takes the book. And that starts chapter 6. What happens? He starts breaking them seals. And now we're into the 7 years, right? Now we're in the 7 years. Now the 7 years are divided into what? Huh? Two. Three and a half. 3.5 years of peace. 3.5 years of no peace. 3.5 years in which God will use man to judge man. 3.5 years where God will judge man himself with his wrath. So, we've come to chapter 10. Now, we've seen the seals broken. We've seen the trumpet sounding. Now, last week we saw the fifth trumpet. What happened when the fifth trumpet sounded?
Silence.
Huh? Well, that started, right? But when the fifth trumpet sounded, the silence ended. And what happened? He said, I saw an angel come down and was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the pit. And smoke come out as from a furnace, right? And he says, and in the furnace was locusts. And those locusts are given a command. What was it? Huh? No. Stay with me now. We're just in the fifth one. That's okay. But you answered. That's good. That means you're listening. He said, no, for 5 months, I just want you to torment them. I'm telling you not to kill them, but torment them. And why did I say I thought that was the case? Why does he want man just, I mean, tormented? I'm not talking about a headache, folks. I'm talking about tormented. Day and night, to the point to where it says they sought for death. They wanted to die. Well, you got to be in pretty much despair to want to die. So they all get them a 357, put it to their head, and blow their brains out. They all go up on the Empire State Building and jump off and just start doing this, floating down. Because he says death flees from them. There you are. In God's hand. Until he closes that hand, my friend, you're going to be alive. You can pull the trigger all you want to. You won't hurt yourself. You can jump off that building if you want to. You ain't going to die. When he says death will flee from you, that's exactly what will happen. Death will flee from you. And he says they have a king, right? What was their names? Apollyon and Abaddon. One in Hebrew, one in Greek. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, folks. You're going to be tormented if you're there at that time. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's not a hard thing to understand. So then we see the sixth trumpet sound. What happened with the sixth trumpet? He tells the one that blows the trumpet, he says, go and loose. I knew you'd get it. I tell you, she's sharp too. Loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. Well, what happens? Well, they're loosed. What do they do? What do they do?
Stop the wind.
Huh?
Stop the wind.
Well, they go out and get themselves a 200 million demonic army. Now, just like the locusts, the army is given a command too. See, God's doing this now. All power is given unto him. He has all authority. When he says something, that's it. And what does he tell them? Go ahead now. You're there now. The army. We've moved from the locusts. You said it earlier. What happens? No. That's in there, but that's not their command. Their command is they were going to kill a third of man. Now remember I told you and I moved you through this. Remember we had demo day. Remember how we talked about demo day? And in demo day you're tearing down, right? Well, here he's tearing down creation, folks. Remember, he started out and he did away with a third of trees. Then he went and made a third of the sea blood, did away with a third of the ships. The sun was dark and the moon wouldn't shine. So he's doing away with creation. Well, we're at the sixth trumpet, which is the sixth day. And what was made on the sixth day? Man. Now he's going to do away with a third of mankind. And I gave you that number. Does anybody remember that number? It would be a fourth of 8.8 billion people as we sit here and stand here today. Think of that. Think of how much, and please, I beg you, understand what I'm saying. We heard so much about 1,500 Jewish people, and now over 2,000 Palestinians die. Think about 25% of 8.8 billion. Try to bury them. Be a good time being in the funeral home business. You'd be busy, though. You'd be no time off, no vacation time. But that's what's going to happen, folks. That's what's going to happen. This is not mythical. This is not a story. This is not symbolism. John is seeing it. John's not being told this is what's going to happen. John is seeing it happen. That's why at the end of it, he says, even so. Now, so what chapter are we in now? We're in 10. Okay. All right, since we're in 10, go to Psalms. And I'm glad my pastor is with us today. And by the way, good to have my associate pastor back and his beloved father-in-law and those wonderful children. I told him, I said, oh, I miss them children and the adults. But it's good to have them back. It's always good to see an answered prayer. So that motivates me to do it again. Now, in Psalms 32, I'm going to read as fast as I can now because I've got quite a bit to do. And then when we get to chapter 10, I can read it in 5 minutes and we're done. All right? Here we go. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Amen. You're one happy person if your sin is forgiven.
Amen.
Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And in those, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now what's, you know, and we have hypotheses which says if one side's true, then the other side must be true, right? For it to be correct. Is that not right? So if he says, blessed is he who to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, what's the reverse of that? Cursed is the man who he does. You know, and that's this thing about Israel, folks. I'm going to stick with what God said. He said, I will bless them who bless Israel. I'll curse them who curse them. We better figure that out. I don't want God cursing me. I want his blessings. So we ought to be praying for him earnestly, folks. Look, I'm to the point I don't know how to pray. I don't. I read in here where 3/4 of them are going to die at some point. 3/4 of all Jews are going to die. That just breaks my heart. And I don't know how to really pray. But anybody that would burn babies alive, anybody that would behead babies, I say kill every one of them. And show no mercy. Show no pity. And don't stop till you do. That's, I'll answer to God if I'm wrong. But seems to me that's what God told them to do. They wouldn't have this trouble if they'd done what God said to do. He said, when you go into the land, spare no one. Don't marry them, kill them. I'm just saying. All right. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I'm going to tell you something. When we sin, and we do, in the flesh now. Now, the new you never sins. Keep that in mind. The new you, the person in Christ Jesus, will never see one sin. Not one, but the flesh in which we're housed. That's all it knows. Mm-hmm. That's all it knows. Well, you let the sin, you let the flesh commit sin, and you keep it hid, and you think you can get away with it without confessing it to God, and you'll happen to you what happened to David. He said, my bones waxed old till I got rid of it. Mm-hmm. So he said, you say, Tom, what's this got to do with Revelation? My madness. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. I've told you this, and I hope you understand what I'm saying when I say it. You will repent one time in your life. You will confess an innumerable amount. Because he says so. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Why? He knows them. Well, but he wants you to know that he knows them. And he wants you to know that it's an affront to him. He wants you to acknowledge what he already knows. And then you'll be okay with him. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. What's the reverse of that? If you're not making that prayer, what does it say? That's not complicated, is it, John? It's either one or the other.
Right.
If you're godly, you're confessing and praying to God about this sin you've done.
Amen.
And if you're not, just say, for this shall everyone that is godly shall pray unto thee. When? In a time when thou mayest be found.
Yeah.
What's the reverse of that? You know, the Bible says this. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Well, that's telling you this. One day, he won't be found.
That's right.
One day, he won't be near.
Mm-hmm.
And the time to do that is
now.
Now look, if you will, at Psalm 60. I have to wait till I get there. It's on my right page here, so I'll get it. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary from my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that point where you felt like God was 9 zillion miles away? I've been there. It's not a good place to be. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies, wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. That's why we're confessing, folks, when we realize there's nothing hid from God. You can't hide something from God. You can't hide from yourself. Well, you know you can't hide it from God. It's foolishness, he said, to do that. Yet we try. We think because Tom don't know it, or what's your name?
Nick.
Nick don't know it. I'm okay. I mean, Nick's the preacher. Dan the preacher, he don't know it. Tom's the Sunday school teacher. He don't know about it. I've got it. No. No. God knows it.
That's right.
And if you don't know God knows that you don't know God.
Yeah.
That's not hard, folks. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayers unto thee. Oh, Lord, in an acceptable time. Oh, God, in the multitude of thy mercy, Hear me. Grace saved us, for by grace through faith are you saved. But my friends, you're going to need mercy.
Yeah.
Every second of your life.
That's right.
As long as you're housed in this vile flesh, you're going to need God's mercy. And all it is a prayer away. Isn't that simple? You know, sometimes we forget who our Heavenly Father is. We become so religious sometimes. We forget it has nothing to do with religion. It's a relationship. And if he's not your father, you're not his child.
That's right.
And if you're not his child, he's not your father. And if he's not your father, you can't pray to him about anything except, oh God, forgive me and make me a child. Look, if you will, at Psalms 95, I believe it is. When I get there, I'll know it. Psalms 95. Yes. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, a great God and a great King above all God. Did you hear that lately? Have you heard that my name shall be great among the Gentiles? For I am a great God, I am a great King. Have you heard that lately? When did you hear that? Well, you heard that Wednesday night if you were here. The psalmist David here is just repeating it. You know, you've heard that old saying, that's worth repeating.
Yeah.
Telling people how great our God is, folks, is worth repeating.
Amen. It is. Thank you, Jesus.
And those people over there in the Middle East, they're going to find out who the great King is too. Vow that. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, that's the same thing as the accepted time. It's not tomorrow. It's today. If you're lost, today is the day of salvation. Mm-hmm. If you're saved, that today is the accepted time of prayer.
Right.
Look, if you will, at Psalms 49, I believe it is. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye my people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, for the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. I wish that this world would hear that. When they think an abortion is just something to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The day, the second, the moment, that you were conceived, God knew you. The Bible says he formed your arms. Isaiah says he called me from the womb, for the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. You know, parents go through, oh, what to name the child. Wasn't hard for God. He gave you a name the second you was conceived. You say, Tom, what is that name? When you get there, you'll find out if you know him.
Mm-hmm.
He says you'll have a new name.
Yeah.
There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. The white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home.
Yeah.
And said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work is with God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Jacob! Why does he say Jacob? Why does he say to bring Jacob? Huh? Because at the end, folks, it's not 10 tribes here and 2 tribes here. It's just like when he said, Jacob, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. And there's 12 of them. And when God brings them back, there's going to be 12 of them. Remember in chapter 7, how many 12,000 from each tribe and how many tribes? 144,000 divided by 12 is 12, last time I checked. God's going to restore Israel. I don't know. Listen, I heard a preacher on the radio the other day. I don't agree with him, but I heard him. And he was talking about, he was sort of mocking us, you know. Oh, yeah, you hear these people say, they see this thing in Israel, and they say, well, now's the time, now's the time. And when it's all over, they don't ever come back and apologize. I'm not telling you now's the time. God's word doesn't say now's the time. He says when you see these things come to pass, the time is not yet. But it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's a sign. He says there shall no sign be given. Well, he's misquoted scripture. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about his resurrection. There shall no sign be given but Jonah. So you see, they take his stuff and twist it. I'm telling you, Israel is at the center of it all. I don't know where the United States is. Don't care. I belong to Israel. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the reserved of Israel, the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? See, that's why he called Israel out to start with, folks, was to go and give the Gentiles the gospel. But they didn't do anything he said to. That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One. To him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant and a ruler, kings shall see and rise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, I believe it is, quotes that. When he says, now is the day of salvation, now is the acceptable time. You know, I read all that to say this. And I saw a mighty angel. And we're back to chapter 10 now. I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed in a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head, and his face shone as the sun, and his feet were as fire. You know, a lot of people have said that that's Christ. I don't argue it. I don't debate it. I sort of try to take what it says, chase it down, and form my own opinions. You remember I gave you two words for another. It says, and another mighty angel, right? I gave you two words for another. Does anybody remember those? Well, the two words are heteros and alios. Now, heteros means the same. In other words, it's used here because it's saying it's the same as the angels. But they don't use the word heteros here. They use the word alios, which means identical to. So if these angels that are blowing the trumpets, when it says another mighty angel, that tells me that this is an angel. But this is not just a normal angel, because he says a mighty angel. And his description tells you something else. Now, does anyone remember Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments? You remember that? You know? And when he came down, he didn't know that his face shone. And people were afraid of him because his face shone. Right? So what did he do? He put a veil on. Well, this angel that comes from the presence of God has to come veiled in a cloud. And over the head of this angel is a rainbow. Well, we know that when he first saw the throne, what was over the throne? A rainbow. What does that signify? It signifies that, but the rainbow itself signifies the faithfulness of God's promise. So what he's saying is, what I'm about to tell you is straight from God, and you can count on it. You can count on it. So here he comes. Here he comes. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. What was he going to write? What the seven thunders said. He was going to write it down. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, well, if this mighty angel was Christ, he wouldn't be hearing from heaven. The mighty angel would have said, now, son, wait a minute, don't be writing this. But he says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which there are therein, that there should be time no more. The psalmist, oh, he talked about a time to pray and confess our sins, didn't he? Isaiah, oh, he talked about an acceptable time for salvation for Israel. Paul, he quoted that to the Corinthians. Today is the day. Our preachers say that from the pulpit. Today is the day. Now is the acceptable time. Well, this angel makes another statement. You know, I sent him out a message alert the other day. I didn't get a response, but I sent it out, which is okay. Sometimes I don't get responses. I did get a message alert back to me. But I sent out a message alert that said, time's up, pencils down. There's a teacher back there. She knows what that means. you don't have any space left to put an answer. The time's up. Now all that is to be determined, did I pass or did I fail? There's no grading on the curve, which I always wanted. I needed. I hoped for. Because my D might be a C if you curved it. But there is no curving. It's a simple thing, Becky. When time is up and the pencil's down, did I pass or did I fail? That's sobering. You know, when for centuries the word has went out about an acceptable time. The word acceptable means an opportune time. It can also mean this. It's translated this, a set time. This is the time. There is time. There's space. See, but here's what's happening. Closing. My little niece, God love, it's a little hard. If we were going somewhere, you know, we'd say, well, now we're going to leave at 3:00. I'm telling you, at 2:30, that little old thing would be sitting in front of that clock, and son, she'd start watching. We've got 15 minutes, because she knew. When it got 3, that was the time, the set time. Jesus said this, of the time and the hour, I don't know. Only my Father in heaven. Did you ever think that was strange? Wasn't Jesus God? Well, wouldn't God know? Why would Jesus say, I don't know, Jimmy? Why would he say, only the Father knows? Because Jimmy, he had given, I'm going to help you, son. Because he had given up that glory. He was in the flesh now. I don't have one clue about what I'll be doing tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Because I'm in the flesh. That's why John had to go up to heaven to get the view of things. Because guess what, Jimmy? In heaven, God knows exactly what I'm going to be doing tomorrow at 10 o'clock. It may be worshiping him in person. Or it may be something else. But here, Henry, time. I don't know about you, when I read that, it just was sobering to me. We don't think about that, do we? We always say, oh, there's always going to be time. No. The one who, why? You say, but I thought God was eternal and there's no time in eternity. Well, this ain't on in eternity. This is on earth. This is down here. There should be time no longer. Well, look what he says. Look what he says. He says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants. I told you we've come to the end of Revelation, folks. We're done. When this seventh angel sounds, it's over. I'll read it to you just in case you think I'm hurrying now. I know I'm hurrying. I saw you. You ain't fooling me. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's over. When he comes down and says time shall be no more, it's over. But notice what he says. This is what's good. Oh, this is what's good. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel. What's the little book? What is the book? If you got it in your hand, hold it up and you'll know. It's right here. It's right here. This is the little book. He says, take the little book and eat it. And when I went to the angel and said unto me, give me this little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it. It shall make thy belly bitter. I don't know when I've had a more bitter belly than this week. I'm being honest with you, folks. I've been down, as they say, down the dumps over this. I don't want to hate anyone. I don't want bitterness in my heart. But I got to tell you, when you can do what they've done, I'm like the sons of thunder. Call down fire from heaven and kill them all. That'll be between me and God. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You say, Tom, that don't make sense. I thought time was up. Why would he need to go preach? Why would he need to eat the word and it be bitter in his mouth, sweet in his mouth and bitter in his stomach? I thought time was up. He saw that time would be up. He saw it. But he was reminded, not yet. Take the book. Let me tell you something. If I ever stand up here before you and I've not eat this for a week, throw me out. I have nothing for you. Because the good news is this, Jimmy. There's still space. If you're lost, there's still time to repent. If you're saved, there's still time to pray and confess your sin and walk up right before God. But that's closing. I don't know when. But John saw it. When the angel comes down and puts the feet on the sea and the land and lifts up his voice and swearing to him that made the heaven and everything therein is and the earth and everything that therein is and the sea and everything that there is and said, there shall be time no longer. I'm telling you right now, you won't need this. You won't be praying. You'll either be rejoicing or weeping. I'm done.